Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Okay. Hi, girls! I just want to say a special hello to my sister-in-law. Hi, Anna! How are you? This is my sister, my beautiful sister-in-law, Anna. Can you all say hi to her? She's not embarrassed to stand up in front of everybody. And the girl can sing. All right, so when am I gonna get you back up here, Anna? How are you, Mama? You good? Good. Oh, well, welcome, you guys. I'm so glad you guys came today. It has been a fun experience to teach this message. Me and Pastor Michelle were talking about sometimes when you minister the word of God, you have to live it out first, right? And so, like, all week, I've been kind of like, it's been in my spirit, man. I'm getting my notes up, sorry, if you're wondering what I'm doing. It's been in my spirit, man, and I've been kind of like laughing at my husband a little bit because he's been a little crabby this week. How many of you were here last night and you heard about Pastor Dan and his crabbiness? And it's been fun. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the title of my message, and then I'm going to get into a story that will totally explain the contradictory of it. So I'm sitting in service Sunday night when my dad's preaching, and a lot of times God will just drop some things on you. I thought I was going to preach on prayer today, and the Lord said, no, you need to preach on the brighter side next week. And I'm like, ooh, that's good. The brighter side. You know, that's one of those messages you're like, yeah, I can find a ton of verses on that one, you know? Little did I know that I was going to be sitting in the dark for 2 days in my house. Whatever. And, you know, I'm literally sitting in the dark. Like, thank God my mom lives next door and the kids were able to, like, at least go to her house. And I was last night going back and forth while Dan was preaching. I literally had my phone live streaming, walking back and forth between the houses, waiting for the Edison guys to come. And they ended up getting it fixed by 11:45 last night, so finally. But all of my food rotted. And yes, I did check it today when I got home and it was not good. And so, but you know, I'm gonna keep the brighter side to this. Like, and so, you know, sometimes seeing life and do you notice that sometimes we naturally, I have kids and I have this son named Titus, and when he gets in trouble, the first thing Titus will do is he will say, like, Titus, why did you do that? And he'll go, I'm so horrible. Like, I am the worst kid in the whole world. And I'm just like, seriously, I didn't even take it that far. But you took it there. And then he will say, like, things like, I remember one time he scratched his leg when he was outside riding his bike, he fell. And he came crying inside. You would have thought the world was over. I'm gonna die, I'm just gonna die. And I'm like, why are you gonna die? I just look at my leg, like, and I think sometimes we naturally can see life a little bit on the negative side. I do believe that we are created by God, but I believe we were born into a sin nature. And sin nature wants to keep us in the sadness of life. Sin nature wants to give us the wrong perspective of life. I believe it's way easier to accept the not so good than it is the good. Why is that? Do you notice that? It's like, I want to think positive right now, but I'm really mad. And somebody said something to me, and I could think, you know, the best of this situation, but I really know what they were really saying to me behind my back. I understood the tone in which they were using towards me. You know, I mean, we can go there, right? And so I believe that, you know, I feel like sometimes you have a rope tied around you, you're hanging off a cliff, and life will just give you enough slack to not fall off that cliff. But see, girls, that's not how God created us. Remember, we went through the whole image thing. If you did not get those messages, I'm hearing so many positive things off of it. Who we are in Christ, our identity crisis. We were made in Him, by Him, and through Him. And that means we have the capability of turning around our situation and looking at it on a different side. So during this whole week, a lot of things were happening. And my husband was getting frustrated. I'm telling him a little bit. He was when men get a little short, like, Dan doesn't get bad, but like when he gets short, it's kind of funny to me. I find it comical. And so I'm like laughing at him, you know, and he's like, what is your deal? And so Wednesday was coming around. He was really short because you heard his story. We didn't get any sleep the night before. All this stuff started happening, and it was just like one thing after another. And yes, I did expect him to get up and open the windows in our house because the windows in our house are not easy to open because they have these, like, it's an old house. You have to pull down the shades, and they always pop back up on me. And it's just like, he knows how to do it right away. And so, yes, you have to get up and fix them. I'm sorry, honey. So what he did not tell you in that story last night was that I was up all night long while he was sleeping with the children. So, you know, men. And so I said to him on Wednesday morning, I said, what are you preaching on? Like, what is, I know you're going through upwards. What is your word that you're preaching on? And he's like, temperance. I'm all, and I literally just laughed at him. And he's like, what are you preaching on? And I'm preaching on the brighter side of things. And he's like, oh, of course you are. So it's just been really fun this week. But, you know, the enemy can come and he can steal our joy, or we can give it to him. We can hand it right to him and be like, here you go, you've got me, I'm defeated. Or you can go, no, I don't think you're gonna take this ground. This might not be going my way. Things aren't working out the way that I wanted them to. You know, you can look at the negative of every situation, but I know God who restores everything back. Right. You know, like when I lost all of my groceries, I had literally just gone grocery shopping. So I filled up my freezers so that I don't have to go grocery shopping for the next 2 weeks because I'm busy. Yeah, gone. Hundreds of dollars worth of food gone. But you know what? Who cares? It's food. God restores and replenishes everything. I can look at that and go crying and be all mad. I was frustrated that nobody was giving me information. So yes, Pastor Jess did get a little irritated with the lady on the phone last night because, anyways, she needs to do her job. And that's something you do need to be careful of. Me and Pastor Sue were just having a mini conversation about this. Sometimes we want to be so godly and so much on the brighter side, we don't stick up for ourselves either. And we allow somebody to just step on us and push us around. And that's not what God is saying. God is saying, you can have your joy. You can look to me. You can be this person I've asked you to be, but you don't have to get pushed down, pressed down, beaten up, pushed around, and have no value in a situation. And so today we're gonna look at what is the brighter side of things. This story actually did start, my son is one extreme or the other, the Titus kid, and he's one extreme or he's the other. Do you have anybody in your family like that? There's like no middle ground. Yes, Anna is waving her hand because we're related. And so her children, oh, Anna's that way. And so it's like sad, I'm gonna die, or like I'm the happiest kid in the whole entire world. Nothing is wrong and everything is great, you know? And it's like, wow, there's no middle ground here. And so Titus, when he was born, I'm gonna tell you a fun story. He was in my stomach and I was doing really well. And I thought for sure this is a girl because it felt totally different than all my other pregnancies. And I really wanted Chloe to have a sister. And so I really was like, this is a girl. And so we called him Mia Joy, and it means my joy. And that was gonna be his name. We spoke that over him forever. And then when we found out it was a boy, obviously our path had to go down a different name calling role, okay? So we decided we were gonna call him Titus, which means strength, okay? And so when Titus came out, it was Easter Sunday. I love this story because, you know, there's, oh, life always comes out of death. I know we can look at death as a negative, but there's always life on the other side of death. And Titus was born on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, I could not be more thrilled, right? And then there was a massive earthquake when he was born. It was crazy. Yeah, it was just a really weird day. And then everybody in the family started coming over. Mom was there. When Titus was born, he came out and he smiled at me. I'm not kidding. He smiled. And the nurse was like, he's smiling. And they called him Sunny Side Up. They said, this kid was born Sunny Side Up. And he has been our comedy in our lives ever since then. He's just a joy and a delight. And I believe that's how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live on our extreme side of negative. He wants us to live on the extreme side of blessed, the extreme side of excited, the extreme side of who he is and why are we who we are so we could be and the ambassadors of who he is. We carry him everywhere we go. You know, depression wants to tell us you're not good enough. Depression will come in, it will be subtle. You'll get in this dark tunnel. Let's talk about it, girls, because it's kind of one of those things people don't talk about. But I was at one time depressed. And when I was depressed, I think it was like after one of the children, you know how you get postpartum. And I remember sitting in my room and it was a Sunday night. And I remember Dan going, come on, we're going to church. And I'm like, you can go, I don't want to go. I really just don't want to go. You can take the kids and you can go. And he's like, what? No, you've been acting weird the past few days. And I'm like, I could barely hear him. He almost sounded like he was so far away, like in another room. And I don't want to go. I just don't want to go. And he's like, Jess, you need to get up. We're going. You're going to be in church. And I'm like, no, I just, and there was just this like, I'm not good enough. I started saying things like, I don't really care if I live. I started saying all these things that was not like who I am. And I remember my husband screaming and saying, say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus, Jess. Say the name of Jesus. I don't want to. I don't want to say the name of Jesus. And he goes, you will say the name of Jesus. Like, yeah. I had no idea because I literally could not see. I was in this fog. And has anybody else been through depression? I mean, it's just a funk. And you don't even know how you got there, and you really literally don't know how to get out of it. And I remember him saying to me, I was on top of you, Jess, literally on top of you, telling the devil he's not gonna take you, and screaming like my prayers over you, and then telling you to say the name of Jesus. I didn't know any of that. I had no idea he was even close to me. He sounded so far away. And when I said the name of Jesus, I literally saw that tunnel kind of close in behind me, and I felt like I could breathe again, like, and I'll tell you something. Nobody wants to talk about it, but these things are real. But we serve a God that's not oblivious to them. And he knows that those are spiritual things that can attack us and come against our will and our emotions. And us women are very driven by our feelings and how we see things and what happens. I mean, we can be great in the morning, and by the nighttime, we are just totally mad. And we don't even know why. We're just mad. You know, and that's something we get each other, right? Men are like, what happened? Like, the day did not change. I don't understand what is going on here. That's why we need each other. Because if I could tell my story about fighting, then my story has helped other people. And my story of depression, I remember I had another friend, she had went through something very terrible, and then another friend, and Dan was able to talk to their husbands, and their husbands were able to do that for their wives, and their wives were able to become free from this spirit that wanted to overtake you with sadness, wanted to defeat you, wanted to paralyze you, wants to tell you you're not good enough, wants to tell you that you're never gonna make it, wants to tell you, why did you say that? See, now you did this, and now that happened because of this, and wants to keep you under its little thumb, and the devil wants to keep you from moving forward. And God says, that is not how it is. God comes along and he says, you can do this. You're more than enough. You are beautiful in my sight. I don't care what the world says about you. You see, when depression wants to come and hit you hard, you can combat it with the word of God. But if you don't get it in you, ladies, you're not going to know what to do when you're in your situation. You're gonna be sitting there and you're gonna go, what do I do? And if you don't know what to do because the word hasn't already been put in you, that's what needs to come up out of you when hell comes hitting you. Because that is why the word of God is our forever. The word of God is our beginning and our end. The word of God should be so incredibly valuable to us that when we can get it into our spirit, man, and you don't know why you're even reading it, maybe it feels like at times, like I don't know, this verse really isn't speaking to me. I didn't feel like I got much. But you watch. Later when you're talking to your kids, it's gonna come up out of you and it's gonna be exactly what you needed. Maybe there's somebody at work that's broken and busted and disgusted, and the word's just gonna come up out of you, and you're gonna shock yourself. You're gonna go, what? Where did that come from? And you know what? You filled up your capacity. You filled up your inner man so that it could come up out of you. And I believe that is finding the brighter side to life. But you won't be able to get through it until you, number one, look to Jesus. You can't. You see, the devil is out seeking whom he may devour. In 1 Peter it says, actually, where is that scripture? In 1 Peter 5 it says, be sober. That means don't be lushed up, girls. Be well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. What about those times you're tired and you're mad at somebody? Like you're totally off that time, right? No, God is not saying that. He says at all times, you better be on your game. And somebody had once told my mom a long time ago, I don't want to fight. Why do we have to fight all the time? Why do we always have to be in this battle all the time? Listen, because we have a devourer and we have an enemy knocking and seeking whom he can take out. He's waiting to tempt you with those things you've already overcome. He's gonna bring them right back into your path so that you can fail again. You see, you have to be alert. We have to be cautious. We have to be ready. And it says that the enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. I don't know about you, but he's not going to devour me. He's not going to get my kids. He's not going to get my marriage. He's not going to get my joy. He's not going to get my identity. He's not going to get who God made me to be. You know, many times you can look at your personality. Remember how I explained Ty has like one side to his personality and the whole extreme other side to his personality? We can use our personalities for good or for bad. Each of you have been given something beautiful. Who you are is who God needed you to be. And how you use you is up to you. So many times I have failed at this. Many, many, many times. In fact, I think I called you yesterday, Robin, and said, I'm not doing so well on the brighter side of things right now. Like, I am failing on my message right now because, you know, we have our moments, girls. But that is not a defeat moment. That's a moment of like, I need a change. What did I do? I went straight to the Word and I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my attitude. I'm going to change the way that I see things. I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to get myself back in faith because it's easy to get ourselves out of faith. It's harder to keep ourselves in faith. You see, how do we do this? How do we pull ourselves out of that darkness and keep the light of God's love in our life? This is how we do. We look to the Son. We look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Ooh, that means he wrote it out already. And he has finished that work. That means he wrote your story out. He knows the end of your days. He knows how he planned for your life to be. Did you know that? Did you know your life is not your own? But it's written by him. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. That means that he's got your back when you feel you're alone and no one else is there. He's right there standing next to you in the hardest of moments and in the easiest of moments. You see, we cannot allow the enemy to take our joy because if we keep our eyes to the Son, our light will be shown upon us. Our path will be directed. Our vision will be clear. Our mind will be fresh. You see, God is our source of strength. But when we start doing life and we look away from the Son and we start just kind of getting through it on our own and just taking care of daily things and the slower and the busier we get, the further we get from God and the further we get from his word, and our hearts can get easily discouraged and our hearts can get easily mangled because guys, that's who we are as humans. So if God cannot get you to sin, he'll just keep you busy so you can't see him any longer. So that you step away and you just kind of go, oh, I'm okay, we're good, we're decent. Until something happens and you go, why did this happen? And it shocks. Sometimes I think it's good. Sometimes the bad things in life aren't so bad. The pressure when it hits might be a sculpting and a molding for you. And in that pressure, remember to keep your eyes looking towards Jesus, that he is the author and the finisher. That means he has completed a good work in you of your faith. Let's keep going. I'm sorry, I love the Bible, so I could just preach off messages, verses myself. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We just sang that song. Every time I sing that song and I walk through like what he gave, I'm overwhelmed at the sacrifice. Because would you do that for a friend? Would you do that? I don't know. He wasn't even here the same time on earth as we were, but yet he saw you, he knew you, and he went to the cross for you with joy because he knew. You see, joy doesn't mean that there's not sadness in your heart. Let's talk about joy for a second. Joy comes from God. Joy will keep you going. Joy is a strength. Happiness is fleeting, right? I can eat ice cream and be happy, and then 10 minutes later, I'm totally feeling like guilty because now I know that those calories are gonna sit right here on these hips, and I'm gonna have to go and work out double time to get that off, right? But joy, that's not an issue for me. It's not a joy. It's a joy to be around my kids. Even when they're bad, I enjoy them. Because they're a gift and a reward. So when we go through the hard times, they may not be easy times, but they're still a source of joy because they were given to me by God. Does that help? Happiness is good. You can go to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. I'm not kidding you. It is like the Disney hell. Worst place on earth. My kids always, when they were little, would poop their pants every single time, and I'd had to buy the stupid $40 pair of, you know, sweats. I have so many stupid Mickey Mouse sweats that were $40 because somebody would, like, have a blow up every time, you know, and then, like, then we try and get somewhere to eat, and then it never works out, and somebody's crying, and Micah, oh man, do you remember that one? Micah freaking out at Disneyland, and the whole entire Disneyland probably thinking we beat him. Like, literally, these people needed CPS called on them because he's freaking out so bad, and we're not even touching him, but he's so crazy. And then the time that my daughter sat on a pole and she fell, and literally, like, we think she broke her arm, but I'm not quite sure, but we were in the hospital all night long. And so, I mean, oh yeah, happiest place on earth, right? No, it is not the happiest place on earth. And why do we parents put ourselves through that? All so that we can put joy into our children. But yet, let me tell you something. When I have a conversation with my kids about the Word of God, and I see it start to come alive inside of them, when my kids are upset and they're mad at someone at school or something has happened, and I turn them to look at what Jesus would do instead of how they feel or where they want to go with their emotions, and I say, yeah, but how would God see this? Like, how would God see this? And when I throw that back at them, and then they have to answer that question, and they have to examine, oh wait, I'm not doing this right. I need to find out what God wants me to do. You know what happens? This little light bulb turns on the inside of them, and all of a sudden they start getting the right answers, and they're not as dumb as you think they are. They actually do have a brain. You just have to help them unlock it, and looking to Jesus is going to be your source, mom, because you're gonna wanna snap on them. You are. You're going to want to punch them in the face because they're mad, right? Like, let's be honest, okay? Like, I didn't have time to say all this on Sunday. But my kids have made me so mad. You know, Dan's a nice guy and he walks away. He has had to, like, pull me away. Like, come on, you're not going to keep talking to Micah like that, you know? Because, I mean, I'm a hothead, you know? And when the disrespect continues on top of I have no tolerance. I'm like, you're gonna get it. Like, and I'll tell you, looking to Jesus has been my source in parenting. Because I've had to literally walk away, and I will go pray in tongues for like 15 minutes. And then I tell the Lord, I don't even want to interpret it. I don't know. I don't want to know what I said, and I don't want to know what was just spoken over Micah and me, but I feel better. So then I can go back, and we can work it out, and we love each other, right? So, listen, look to Jesus. Your marriage, oh, that man can get under your nerves. He can bug you. He can say things that are horrible. Or you can say things that are horrible, but it's still his fault, right? Because it's just how it works. But are you looking to Jesus that when he acts a fool, you don't? That when he says things, you keep your joy. When he is horrible and resilient and never relenting on you, you can step aside and say, hey, I'm gonna go to the grocery store. I need to go get some groceries. And get your cute little tushy in the car. Don't go get those groceries, but go walk in the park and pray it off. Call him back to heaven. Break off the assignments the enemy has on him. Men deal with pressures we don't deal with. Not that they're greater or less, they're different. We deal with our own pressures as women. They don't understand us. Guess what? We don't understand them, and let's be okay with it, all right? Like, I'm totally okay with it. I don't wanna be like you. I wanna be me. But I wanna support you, and I wanna love you, and I wanna cherish you, and I wanna be who God's asked me to be, but I can't do that if I'm not looking to Jesus, because if I'm looking to what I watched on TV and how to treat a husband, my marriage is gonna be a mess. If I think like that, you know, watching these shows with all this adultery in them is going to strengthen my marriage? No, you've got to watch what you're putting in your heart. Because when it's hard and times are hitting and you're not looking to Jesus, that will be what comes out of you. What are you reading those sensual books? 50 Shades of Grey, what is it, 50 Your Shades of Grey? I don't even know. 50 Shades, how do you know that, Robin? You're watching these sensual movies, you're watching these Especially you single women, why are you teasing yourself? Don't go there. Look to Jesus. He is the author of your life. He is the finisher of your faith. He is your light source. He is your path. But when we look at these things and we put these things in our eye gates and our ear gates, and what are we listening to? What are we entertaining? And we're not entertaining Jesus. We're entertaining Satan in our life. And we wonder why it's going to hell. We wonder what happened. Well, don't get me. Don't ask me that question, because I'll tell you. Did you do this? Well, no. We kind of got away from, you know, God. Well, let's get you back onto God, because he doesn't leave you abandoned in your sin. That's the coolest thing about God, is he loves you so much that even when we get off on our own and we do our own thing and we're not looking to him, I believe he's down like in heaven, or he's up in heaven going, come on, baby girl, I got you. Would you just look up? Just look to me, because I'm here and I'm waiting to give you the answers you need. I'm waiting to comfort your heart. I'm waiting to be your source, but you're not reaching out. So let's challenge ourselves to look to heaven, to look to him, to be who he is. Psalms 42:11 in the Message, I love the way it says this. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I will be praising him again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. Isn't that cool? I mean, yeah. Why am I so down? You know, you could look at your life and say, this happened and this happened. Well, you didn't go through divorce. You didn't lose everything. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. No, no, no. You don't have this. Listen, I don't. But let's not compare each other's lives to each other, because my other issues are not your issues. And my heartaches are not your heartaches. But instead of comparing our lives to each other, we can say, hey, I got your back. I know this wasn't an awesome situation, but I know a God that can restore and heal and refresh. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the good things that are in our life. Sometimes we forget the good things, right? I remember one time I was dating this guy and I thought I would marry him. Oh man, he was cute. And he was a nice guy. My mom actually liked him. That was like the big one, because she never liked any of my boyfriends. And so I thought, this is it. I'm marrying him. She likes him. And I remember we were talking, and we were like, we're going to get married. And I went to go visit him and at his barracks, because he was in the Army. And he's like, we'll live in this house. And I was all excited. Like, I came back and told mom, I think he's going to ask me to marry him. Well, do you know that guy never called me again? Like, never called me again. And I remember thinking, what did I do? You know, like, I mean, that was probably one of my lowest points in life. I know that's crazy, right? I've been beat up. I've had abortions. I mean, I'm a hot mess. But that was my lowest point. Because your heart can be so broken that the enemy wants to, take you down that path. And I remember my mom comforting me and then saying, hey, listen, honey, go home. And just go pray. Because I was getting more into God, and I was doing better. And I remember going home and just, the Lord comforted me. I remember that day he wrapped his arms around me in my room. And I had prayed that night before, Lord, if he's not the one, take him from my life. And obviously that prayer really worked. So be careful what prayers you pray. And mamas, pray them out of your kids' lives, because I know my mom prayed people out of my life, and I'm so grateful. And so now I have Dan, and I couldn't ask for anything greater. Like, I always tell him, if something happens to you, I'm never remarrying, because no one could ever be you. Not one person. Like, I will just be happy to be me and Jesus, and that'll be good. And but you need to be remarried, because you're a man. And men need a wife. Do you notice that? So anyways, so I remember being in this moment of sadness and this moment of devastation, and I just remember the Spirit of God just hovering over me and hugging me. And if I would have gone home and watched sad movies, right, about love, would that have helped? I wouldn't be looking to Jesus. That would be, why cast my soul, oh down soul? Yeah, not looking to God. You know, but I did. I went to God, and I remember the Lord just healing my heart. Now I look back on that relationship and I go, oh, thank God. Thank God. How many of you have a witness on that one? Thank God I did not marry that ex. You know, because where would my life be? Where would my children's life be? Where would the destiny of this church be? See, God is the author of our lives. And even though we can make wrong decisions, he can help us get back on track if we keep our eyes looking to him. Because you have a plan, ladies, and your life is not your own. Okay? And so let's just let God just drink that in. We have to look to Jesus. He's our provider. He's our advocator. He's our protector. So if you're afraid of something, seek him. He's our healer. If you're fighting sickness in your body, the word of God says that you are healed by the stripes on the cross. And I believe I have been, as your pastor, I have been praying for signs, miracles, and wonders. And I believe this weekend we saw some miracles. We saw salvation come out of these altars, like God's spirit just fell on us. Lionel, who had a stroke and could not move his hand, it was opened. And then Mom Sunday night, I don't know if you saw him, but he was using this thing, like doing this, like moving his hand. And my brother-in-law, who is a PT, he texted my husband, he said, you know, we work our whole lives for things like that. I'm jealous. You just prayed over him and his hand opened up, you know? That's our God. That's who God is. And so instead of getting down and defeated, we need to remind ourselves that not only do we put our physical, but we put the supernatural with it. And we put the natural and the supernatural together. It's an amazing explosion for what God wants to do in your lives. So ladies, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's let him be our healer. He's our source. Are you lacking in something? Do you need more money? Well, guess what? He has a plan for that. Okay? Yeah, I'm sure everybody's like, oh yeah, I need more money. Okay, well listen, he has a plan. He has a path for that. When you get in the word, he talks about tithing. He talks about those things. You see, it's a heart issue. Money is connected to our heart. It says where your heart lies, there your treasure is. And so we need to be guarding ourselves against being greedy. We need to guard ourselves against being like stingy with like, this is mine, mine, and nobody else's. Because that's not what God is asking. God is saying, open up the word and find out what I say about money. Because did you know he talks more about money in here than he does faith? You go, no, I'm gonna go look that up afterwards. I'm not kidding. And our church has been criticized because people have said, oh, you guys are money hungry. Are you kidding me? No, we're not. But it's okay for me to talk to you about everything else, but not your money. You see, God's your provider. So I'm not afraid of it. When it's decreasing, God's gonna increase it. It's a replenishable resource. He is my refuge. He's the one I go to when I need that in my time of need. Listen, guys, we need him in our everyday. Keep your eyes open because you need him in your everyday. Don't shut him out. I don't wanna see Jesus on my peripheral view during the day. I don't want to be like, oh, wait, I think maybe that was God, but I missed it. Have you ever had that moment like, oh, I think God was moving, but I missed it? I don't want Jesus to be in the peripheral of my life. I want him to be in the front of my life where he's my resource and I can look straight to him and he's everything for me. Let's not allow Jesus to become on the peripheral side of our lives, but let's see him clearly. We can make calls and judgments in life way better. Did you know that? If you keep Jesus in front of you. You're gonna judge things according to your flesh, your desires, and your feelings. But when you're in the Spirit of God, and when you keep your eyes focused on him, you're going to see things in a different perspective. Many times I can walk in and I can talk to my kids about something and I'm not seeing it. But then when I realize, wait, something deeper is going on here. Holy Spirit, show me what's going on. And the Holy Spirit will be like, Micah needs you to do this. And I'll do it. And all of a sudden, he like opens up. You know, like, or Chloe or Mike or Dan or whatever my situation is. Many times when I'm in spiritual guidance appointments and I'm sitting across from somebody, I'll say, Holy Spirit, I don't have the answers for these people, but you do. What do you want me to say? And you see, you will have a clearer judgment. You will hear from the Spirit of God. God is not a respecter of persons. You are a full-time minister, wonderful, amazing women of God. So keep your eyes focused on him. Remember who you are and that you can see clearly through him. Number two, you need to keep your faith in God. So you can look to him but not believe in what he's gonna do. You know he's there, but I don't know if he's gonna come through. I know he's there, but you know, this situation is a little too big for me. It's a little too much. I don't know. I found myself in a situation a few weeks ago. And what happened was, I was praying in the morning, and the Lord literally woke me up. I was praying and he said, it's time for you to sell your house. And I went, okay. And he goes, no, now. And I was like, what? Like, oh, okay. Well, I'm in the middle of Easter. I've got a whole bunch of stuff on my plate. I don't even know how to sell a house. Like, I have no idea what this is going to require of me. I have three little kids in this house. And the Lord says, because I want to sell it. And I went, okay. Listen, I could be like, that was not me. This is not the time. I'm busy. I don't got time for this. No, I could not get away from it. But you know what? Every day that the house isn't shown, I can get in fear that it's not going to show. I can get discouraged, like, why did I clean and nobody even came? Because that has happened. It's annoying. So if you're going to, like, go look at a house, go look at the house because they've really cleaned to clean it up. You know, you can get discouraged. You can wonder if it's going to happen. And then I get from, you know, people in my life, well, where are you going to go once the house sells? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. Like, I literally don't know. Well, why aren't you freaking out about it? I don't know. Like, I have such a faith in who God is that if he told me to do something, I know he's going to take the next steps for me. And I'm asking for it to be an incredible supernatural experience because I don't want my life to be ordinary. I don't know about you, but let's not live ordinary lives. I want to live supernatural, spirit-filled, everyday walk with God lives. And that's where I'm at. Where are you at? Where's your faith? Is it defeated? Is it depleted? Are you not, you know, striving for awesome things? Have you just kind of settled and said, that's good enough. It is what it is. Ho-hum. Or are you like, hey, there's more to this. I'm not too old for God to use me. I'm not too young for God to use me. I'm not just beat up and busted and disgusted. I've got a testimony to tell someone so they can come through it instead of stay in it. You see, so many times we shut ourselves down because we feel like we have no value, but really it's our faith in Christ is weak. And we don't think he's going to come through. And we're not sure if he's going to make it on our behalf because we're scared to step out on that water. We're scared to step out and keep our eyes. Remember looking to Jesus like Peter walked out on that water. What happened to him when he stopped looking to Jesus? He sank. Same thing goes for us. Where's our faith? Are we going to sink? Or are we going to go further and farther? 1 Peter 5:9 in the Amplify says, but resist him, be firm in your faith against the attack that is rooted. Established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and your sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. Sometimes you're going to feel alone in your faith, guys. But listen, when you talk to a friend and they go, oh, I've been through this, you're going to be okay. There's been so many times that I've been devastated. I'm thinking, this is it. I'm so broken over this. This is, and then I'll go talk to my mom or I'll talk to my friends or I'll talk. And I'm like, never mind. It's really not that bad, is it? Like, do you ever feel that way? Like, oh, it's going to be okay. I can breathe again. We're all good. We're back on track here. Maybe you just need each other. That's why we provide the tables. That's why we provide an atmosphere for you guys to build your faith up because you need team to keep your faith high. When you are discouraged, you need someone to say, come on, you got this. God's never let you down. He's always been faithful. Seriously, think about it. Has he ever failed you? Never. Never has he failed you. Not one of you can say that. Because God is faithful. Psalms 119, 105 through 112, it says, by your words I can see where I am going. They throw a beam of light on this dark path. Ooh, I love that. We're walking down some dark ways, guys. Just turn on the news and you will see what's happening. You got North Korea happening. You've got all this stuff in the Middle East. You've got America, a hot mess. Everybody's mad at everybody. I mean, my brother said he was just in Oregon and there were like these riots against Trump and people were hurting each other in violence. And I'm like, why does this follow us? I was in Seattle the week before and there was like some robbery happening right next to us. I'm like, San Bernardino shows up and the police show up with us, I guess. You know, but this is the world we live in. My kids said the other day when the news came on and there was a terrorist attack, they were like, oh, just another terrorist attack. It was like a common thing for my children to roll off their tongue. And I went, they are growing up in a different world than I did. And you see, we can be afraid of that, or we can say, nope, God built them for their generation. God built them for this time. God knows that they're gonna endure, that they're gonna stand firm, that they're gonna have a word of light in the darkness because he lights their path. I've committed myself and I've never turned back from living by the righteous order. Everything's falling apart on me. God, put me together again in your word. This is David talking. Festoon me with your finest saying. God, teach me your holy rules. My life is as close as your hands. Ooh, I love that. But I don't forget what you have revealed. Don't forget what God has done, what he's shown you, what he's spoken to your heart, what he has encouraged you with. The wicked do their best to throw me off track, but I don't swerve an inch from your course. I inherit your book on living. It's mine forever. What a gift! And how happy it makes me. I concentrate in doing exactly what you say. I always and always will go to the word of God, girls. Go to the word of God. This will renew your faith in Christ. When you're discouraged, I'm not kidding. I know people say, don't just open it up and point. I have done that, and it has actually been a verse that I'm like, oh, it has. So if you don't know much about the Bible, God can speak through a jackass, a donkey. He's gonna be able to speak through his word if you have it in front of you, because this is the light of your path. Jesus is the word. So you're going, you're looking at him, and you're building your faith. When discouragement wants to come, keep your faith. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Go to the word. And last, guys, you're going to have a hard time with this one because we as women don't do this well. But rest in the Son. Rest in who he is. Take a breath. It's going to be okay. There's a book called The Rhythm of Life. And Pastor, so you put this on Dan's desk and I started reading it right there. And it said this, rest is more than a good night's sleep, more than a mere physical reparation. Sorry, I am not a good reader, as you could tell, but God has a joke by making me a teacher, right? It's a time when we forget our problems in life, pressing demands long enough to remember who we are. It's a few minutes of solitude in the midst of a hectic day. Do you ever just stop and take a moment? Some of you don't. Take a breath. Stop and reflect. Just say no. Can you guys say no? Say no. You don't have to do everything for everyone all the time. Say no and take a moment. I loved that. It's a few minutes of solitude in the midst of a hectic day. It's a time when we pause and we make the mad busyness of living and remember a special moment from the past. Do you ever just stop and think about something awesome God did that day? It's really a refreshing for your soul, girls. The kind of rest that is taken daily and at least regularly. It restores our physical being and renews our emotion and our spiritual energies. Rest in him is what God has given us and has made for us an example himself. In Genesis, he rested on the seventh day. You see, you work hard, but then he wants you to rest. Girls, you are amazing. Can I just say, you can multitask on a level that nobody can, right? I know that I do my squats, brush my teeth, and seriously, blow dry my hair all at the same time. And my husband walks in like, what are you doing? And I'm like, multitasking. Like, I'm multitasking. And okay. And the other day, you know, like he tried to multitask something and I literally, me and Chloe sat there and laughed out loud at him because it was a mess. We are gifted with multitasking. It's a gift. But I think at times we can overdo it. And at times we don't stop enough to take a breath and say, God, I'm gonna just sit and rest in who you are. Because that's who he needs us to be, girls, is that rest, the calmness of who he is. Hebrews 4, 9 through 16 in the New Living says, so there's a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did in creating the world. Verse 11, so let us do our best to enter this rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there. What? What does that have to do with rest? When God tells us to do something and gives us the path and the direction to do it, and we don't do it, you will not have rest. Have you ever just had that, oh, I don't know why, I'm irritated inside. It's because you didn't do what God asked you to do. And this inside of you, it's there's not gonna be a settling because the Holy Spirit's not gonna let you rest because he needs you to do your assignment, whatever that was. And so you're not gonna have a rest until you carry out what it is he's put inside of you to carry out. So many times people will say, I don't know why I'm frustrated. I don't know why things aren't playing out. I don't know why. And I love my husband. He will always say to them, what was the last thing God told you to do? And I remember this one guy was like, he told me to go to the Rock Church Coachella Valley and help them plant, and I didn't. And he goes, you better go do that, because if you don't, you'll never have rest. He moved out there. He got the best job he had ever gotten in his whole life. It like tripled his salary. His wife got pregnant. They bought a house. I mean, they were blessed beyond blessed. And I went, obviously. And then here they were struggling. They just couldn't get it. They just couldn't make it work. You see, there's a rest when we follow the direction and the path of God. And that's what God is talking about in these verses. Your obedience will bring you rest. Verse 12, for the word of God is alive and it is powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting down between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and the desires. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. You can't hide from him. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one whom we are accountable. Let's stop and talk real quick about Adam and Eve. Here they are in the garden. They stroll along with God. They're enjoying their time together in the garden, right? And then they eat of the fruit and they're hiding. I would say they were at rest. I would say that they were having a good time in that garden. They walked with God. They laughed. They enjoyed each other's company. And then they ate of the fruit. And what happened? They had to hide because their disobedience put them in an unrest. They weren't comfortable around God any longer. They felt the shame of what they had done. You see, God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to walk in his ways and rest in who he is because he's the one that's got it all put together. Verse 14, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weakness. You can rest in that. He knows your weaknesses. You don't have to go confess them every 5 seconds. He's very aware of our weaknesses, but it doesn't sway him. He still loves us, for he faced all the same testings we do. Isn't that amazing? That he came and he understands, but he's telling us to rest. In Psalms 4, actually Proverbs 4, it says that you will sleep in peace and dwell in safety. That verse has so spoken to me over the years because I'll have an unsettling in my sleep or whatever, and I have to pray these scriptures over myself because I know God needs me to rest. I know that whatever's going to come the next day, I need to have enough rest for it. And if I'm not physically ready to go, guess what happens? I snap. I'm not the godly woman. I'm not looking to Jesus, and I'm in a hot mess, right? Do anybody else in this room, or is that just Pastor Jess? Whatever it is that you need to do, make sure you're following what God says. It'll bring you rest, but then also rest your physical bodies. Verse 15. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he has faced the same things that we do as sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace and help when we most need it. Listen, guys. Rest in who he is. You don't have this. It's okay. We won't have this because we weren't built to carry it. He was built to carry it. We were built to be his kids, to rest in who he is, to put it back in his hands. Many times my dad will come to me, he's had this conversation with me many times, and I'll bring all my worries and concerns to him, and he's like, one time he said to me, do you realize that you're taking on things that were never meant to be yours? And you're not casting any of these cares. You're not casting, Jess. No, I'm casting. I get mad at him. I'm casting. You don't know in my private time what I'm doing. I'm feisty. But then when I get alone with God, I'm like, yeah, I'm not casting, am I? Because I might have casted it and then pulled it right back with the rope. Like, okay, I'm going to just go ahead and revisit that one again. You know, like, let's like cast it and leave it, okay? Let's be at rest in who God is. Let's be at rest because we know that when we heard the voice of our master, that we responded to his voice. And so now there's a settling and a peace inside of our spirit man, and we can carry out what he's asked us to do. Girls, you've got this. Say, I've got this. I'm going to start seeing. Say it with me. I'm going to start seeing the brighter side to life. Now listen, when you walk out those doors, you're probably going to have something hit you because that's what life does. But you choose today to see the flip side of what you're being faced with. You get a bad report? Okay, all right. Well then, you know what, God? You're gonna come through. And God, your word says da-da-da-da-da about my healing or da-da-da-da about my child or da-da-da-da about whatever this is. You are gonna get a bad report? And you're going to, what are you going to do? You're going to see the brighter side to it, not the negative side to it, right? You're going to be shocked and awe about something. Watch, because that's just how the enemy likes to bring things. And you just bring that shock and awe right back on him, flip that mirror on him and be like, you can just deal with yourself because you're not going to faze me because I am a daughter of the Most High God and I'm going to keep my joy and I'm going to look to my King and I'm going to keep my faith and I'm going to be in my spot and I'm going to do life well. That's who you are created to be, my dears. That's who God wants us to be. So in the not fun, dark moments of life, we can still find our joy and look to our Creator because he's got this. He's got this. I have a shirt that I just bought because I thought it would motivate me to work out more. It really kind of doesn't. I've actually put the shirt on twice in like my mind, like I'm going to work out with this cute little new outfit on. And not once have I worked out in that outfit. And so like, I just want to say, does anybody else do that? Because I did. But the shirt says killing it. And you know, did you know that you're killing it? You didn't even, you're like, no, I'm failing. No, you're killing it. You are killing it, baby girl. You are conquering life. You're defeating the devil. You're totally outweighing what the enemy is bringing you. You're killing it. And someone just needs to say, you've got this, and you can see the brighter side to life, and now you don't have to be defeated anymore because you're killing it. You're killing it. So when you want to get bummed, just remind, no, I'm killing it. And be all cocky about it too, like, I'm killing it. Okay? Because you guys are going to defeat the devil, and he's not going to take you out. All right? Did you get something from the Word today? You're killing it.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.